Hello, this is James Grunvig with Decentralized.media on Unrestricted Warfare. And yes, Rich Germo and I are back together again on our weekly discussion on all topics that are hot, some that are a little bit off the edge, right? Not mainstream. And we'll dive into everything, including today, because we're going to talk about full spectrum Psy War. And I got a video to play to get into it because this is a Army Psy War recruitment tool. I don't know how many woke people are going to join this, but this is a very interesting 3-minute recruiting video. It's called Ghost Machine 2. Let's get into it.
And listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say your last good night while I.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
The ammunition used by Psywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers. And at the same time,
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night close in.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
I was back in college, I might be, and that's a pretty cool video, but we are in a Psy War battle big time, right, Rich? I mean,
Indeed.
so what's interesting, I had a guest on named Era Wolfnason last night, and she was born into a Luciferian family and became a Catholic 4 years ago, met Christ 4 years ago. That really got her, especially during the lockdowns where she couldn't go to a church and leave the all the darkness that she had been in, all the spells she had cast on other people, all of that stuff. Right. And she's been around the block, right? There's many, many decades in that world. And then she exited world last 4 years. She's an amazing guest. But what it brought to me was we Christians, we Muslims, we Hindu, we Jewish people, we people of the religions that are discussed at the dinner table, discussed at the water cooler, that are discussed in restaurants and cafes and things or out in public. We never discuss the occult. It is never talked about. And they've been this hidden for thousands of years. And now it's all being revealed in Revelation. It's all being exposed. And I love this Ghosts in the Machine recruiting video, because guess what? The army now is in the shadows too, right? The military alliance, the White Hats, are operating the shadows. So now they've gone underground. We have not seen them really. We've seen cause and effects of them, like effects, certain things happening, right? But we have not actually seen them. But that's coming soon, in my opinion. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Well, the tip of the spear is the first in and the last out. I mean, you're kind of looking at the ghost of in the machine. It's us, really. I mean, this is essentially, we're irregular warfare, psychological warfare operators. Even though, I mean, this isn't networked in the way that people would think that it is. There's connection, there's a breakage in the connection so that you can't really see. And the fact is, we're not even fully aware in the way that we're being used in this tooling.
No, correct. But
it's the people that are the operators. You know, it is the digital soldiers, whatever you want to call them.
I'm with you.
It's a tip of the spear. Setting the stage, essentially, for what we have now. Because without us being involved in this way, we couldn't be where we're at right now, where we'd have this level of awareness and the people set up for the events that are getting ready to unfold. You know, so it took, you know, a conditioning of the people, at least a subset of them, to get this ready. And then there'll be more work to do once we get through this. But I think that we are the ghost in the machine, right? There are others that are more closely affiliated, I guess, that are part of the military network that are in the shadows and behind, but those are the ones who influence us and push us, right? Either directly or indirectly.
Correct. And God Almighty is the ultimate ghost machine. Mm-hmm. If you believe in God, the spirits through all of us, and the ether is connected. And this is why they wanted 6 feet of separation 4 years ago, because we humans, it's not just we have brains and we have reason and all that nonsense. We actually have a lot more. We have spirit, and we have EMF, and the EMF is our, you know, especially our good spirit can be felt with other people within 6 feet, heart to heart. It's not just the brain, it's the heart as well. The heart has got a kind of a different kind of brain, but it is a brain, and that is how we connect to animals without same language, right? They could feel us, we could feel them, so on and so forth. It is really interesting. They've been trying to separate us, mass, because all that is satanic ritual, but that's all going away now because people are waking up to the criminality, corruption, and evilness going around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's play the next video. We're going to dive into the IDF. They got a new drone tool that I think is a ghost in the machine, and we will find out. It's called Mavic 3. And let's hear what they got to say.
תודה רבה לעמותת מגן ללוחם ולבד הצדקה מיאמי על מאביק 3 שהולך להיכנס לרפיח אוטוטו בעזרת השם.
Thank you very much. We are IDF soldiers that we fought all over Gaza Strip. We've been to Khan Yunis, to the north of the strip. This is the nation of the Mavic 3 Termi. It's just going to save our lives. We've seen how it saved lives before. We're happy to have it. And it's just gonna help us to beat the Hamas and bring Sinwar's head. It's an amazing donation. Toda rabah levad,
that's like, so that apparently is a intelligence drone, right? It sweeps and sweeps and sweeps. They, I guess, identify dangerous stuff. I'm not sure all of the specifications on it, but clearly it's a different kind of drone. Then you see people here, commercial real estate, flying drones with cameras. It's a lot more than this. This is something completely different. Rich?
Oh, I'm not familiar with it per se, but obviously it's programmed in a way that it's specific to target and look for certain things that, these other drones aren't. So it's thinking for itself, likely in one way or another, to pick up on keys, essentially to gain and build intelligence for them.
Yeah, and that video came from Aaron Cates, my buddy in Canada. Thank you, Aaron. We're gonna go into the PowerPoint because there's a lot of stuff. Rich, we're gonna talk about the economics. We're gonna talk about data breaches. There is a lot going on in the world. Oh yeah, we got the protests at colleges, but we'll get there in a minute. Don't worry. So this episode 89. It's called Full Spectrum Psy War because that's exactly what we're in. Fifth generation information warfare. And one people, I continuously see the average citizen on Twitter and other social media saying World War III is coming. No, folks, we've been in World War III since fall of 2019. Started the biological war. 2020 became a psychological war because the pandemic was totally faked. They used EMF 5G sickness and call it a virus. They use vaccines as a bioweapon. So we've been in different phases, but we've been in World War III literally since 2019, in my opinion. Rich, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. If not even earlier in some ways, because
Yep.
like what that the Ghost in the Machine showed, it was people that pushed this. They pushed these people to do the things that they've done, essentially, through exposure.
Correct. And part of the machine now is the world of data breaches. And I've been involved in cybersecurity since 2011 with my friend CEO Matthew Gorge out of Dublin, Ireland, and his company Digitrust. He's done an amazing job of setting up cybersecurity advisory board meetings. I wrote a chapter in his book, Elephant in the Cyber Boardroom, or the Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, that kind of stuff. Just very interesting. So I've learned a lot over the last 14 years. And here we go. So this Verizon data breach report came out either yesterday or this morning. And here are the five takeaways, the main takeaways from it. So let me just go through them. MOVEit, 0 day, big jump in data breaches. So there's a new kind of malware that's out there. And why do they call it 0 day? Because it's brand new. It's sort of like the novel coronavirus. Well, it's a novel malware. It's never been seen before. That's why they call it 0 day. Right, vulnerability. So that has jumped back significantly. Ransomware has been red hot tier last 3 years. Extortion. They shut down tons of hospitals around the country, different government agencies, things of that nature. And we're seeing this, and you have to wonder about it because the next one's a pretty big eye opener. For an example, human element bulk of the breaches. Human beings continue to be manipulated, emotionally pulled. Right, fooled. I mean, literally fooled. Where they got websites that look like, a company, and then there's a period in between, a couple of letters or an extra letter added, and everyone thinks the website at first glance is legitimate, and it's not. And so they go into it and they're already inviting malware into the company networks and things of that nature. Unintended errors lead to incidents. There's no question about that. Continues to be the human element problem. So I made it an extra note down here. So the fifth takeaway is education on phishing attempts is improving. So phishing is emotionally social engineering people, and to go fish for them and they and click things. So like, I would have a friend's email hack maybe click on this for tickets to a football game. I click on it and boom, I invite malware into my computer or at a company into the company network again. So we've had AI now for 2 years on a commercial, high-level commercial, and I'm wondering, where is AI in, to make a better solution and related to three and four, which is the human error, right? How can AI vastly improve education on phishing? Rich, you have any response to any of these items here?
As far as AI being commercially implemented, I got information quite some time ago that, in fact, they were running the stock market with an AI computer back into the early 70s, which was the most advanced computer at that time
Yep.
that was doing that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that all of this stuff is essentially setting the stage for a mass you know, false flag, cyber attack type incident to attack the banking system, social media, and communications, essentially to as a cover related to the imminent crash that's coming. Yeah, so, no, I mean, it's hard. I think it's a completely bank operated, this whole thing, all of these. The cyber thing is essential related to what's coming. They have to stage these cyber events that are widespread to usher in.
Right. Whatever. They know a crash is coming. They're going to need a couple of scapegoats. As you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, they're going to need a false flag to follow a black swan financial crash. But to your point, you're going to probably also need a cyber attack and blame Russia again, or whoever. They'll never blame China, right? And so they're going to blame something. So they need to change the narrative. And we see the narrative change. We know Joe Biden is getting destroyed in the polls, right? We know his dementia is off the charts. We know his economy is falling apart. People are starving. And yet, what has been the narrative the last 2 weeks? Pushing the college campuses down our throats. This is an operation. It's not just to disrupt the college campuses and disrupt cities and everything else and try to influence behavior. They're part of the Psy War from the cabal and the deep state, but it's also to take our eyes and ears off of things that actually matter, like the World Health Organization having a pandemic treaty ratification at the end of the month, like other things that we should be focused on. We shouldn't be focused on the Mickey Mouse show of Donald Trump, of course. We shouldn't be focused on his college campus crap, but we are. It's taking up all the mainstream media. So not necessarily I am, but the general public is, the ones that are still sheep and normies, the ones that are vaccinated. That's kind of the problem, don't you think?
Oh, I agree totally. I mean, these people are in such a weakened position. They are extremely reluctant to follow through with the serious steps in their plan because they lack the control element. They don't have the control that they want. So I think that you're going to see events come to where they're going to get pushed by, call it the Alliance, the White Hats, or whoever, by circumstances that are going to surge them into each phase of this thing. And right now, I mean, even though they have this stuff going on with Trump, they can't effectively commit enough fraud, you know, to win an election because of all the factors in there and everything else. They're extremely reluctant to push themselves down this path because it's a one-shot thing. If they fail at it, it's over for them, and they don't really have enough power or control.
No, they no longer do. And as you going back to what you just said, keyword phases, as the Alliance and the truth pushes them through phases, they're being exposed more and more in the light. They're not operating in the shadows anymore, right? They're kind of being pushed out into the light so everyone can see them. This is what's happening, and that is exposing them. So time is not on their side, no. Right? The truth is all going to come out. God will make sure of it. It's all coming out on everyone, everything. So this is interesting. So this goes back to cybersecurity. So the Veterans Association is warning veterans about change healthcare cyber attack, secretary says. Now they say there's no proof. Well, that's nonsense. As usually in the Biden regime, that's a cover story. There's no confirmation yet. No, let's just do this. Let's just say there is confirmation and you go prove otherwise. In the meantime, all veterans who've been using the Veterans Associated Hospital system in this country have been exposed to home addresses, social security numbers, phones, everything. And that's gone to what? It's gone overseas, absolutely, backdoor, like Hillary Clinton did to China, probably Biden to China, same thing. Remember, China, you know, Biden gets a lot of his money from China. So right away, we got former Army veterans. Then you can find out who the gun owners of the veterans are. You can find out their health status, how old they are. And all the foreign invaders that are inside America, now they get this information, and they know what houses to maybe go to, or what houses or neighborhoods to avoid. Because if some of these veterans are armed up to the teeth, maybe they don't want to have a firefight with them, right? And so this is problematic, but I continue to say the open borders of foreign invaders is a trap. It is the third sting operation. I was on Michael Jacob's show a week ago. He's a former Navy SEAL Team 6. He's a CIA operator. He actually agreed. So he actually agrees, and he also thinks the number 10 million coming to the U.S. is nonsense. It's hyperinflated. It might be a million, it might be 2 million, but it's not 10 million. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, you know, I think that, I think, again, Project Lavender, this possibly is part of the intelligence mechanism that is classifying these veterans and even categorizing them into threat levels and then turning this information over to operators who are part of this element. And part of that is these immigrants who are part of that, you know, military force element. And they're going to be relying on this type of intelligence that they gather to go ahead and attempt to neutralize targets.
Yeah, no, yeah. Or if there's too many veterans with too many guns on a certain cul-de-sac, we're not going down there, right? They'll be gummed up. You know, they come after them later after they weaken the rest of the country. So they're going to target. Great point. They're going to score, you know, priority list, medium list, and stay away from list. And you know, if they're veterans in the 80s, they're not going to care less, right? It's not going to matter. They're not going to make a difference. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So I know you want to talk in this point. So let me talk first, and then I'm going to allow you. You have some great points about the signal of oil, gold and silver, and what's coming. So here's an article that came out at the end of April. BRICS, U.S. coming after digital assets to save the dollar. The problem is the BRICS alliance have already created its own stable coin without America. They don't need the United States. They don't need U.S. regulators approving their stable coin. They've already got a stable coin. They're literally breaking away at the digital level. So I'm thinking that the United States really can't do anything about it. I'm talking about the government. They really can't do anything about the BRICS having their own. It's like you and I having our own sandbox. They can't do anything about it, right? So the digital sandbox overseas, it's not part of the United States. So what's interesting is they're pushing this article out. In my opinion, I don't know if the Fed and the Biden regime are going to push economic fear. The dollar's being destroyed by foreigners. They're going to blame somebody else, right? They're going to blame not Biden, not the policies of the Fed. They're going to blame the foreigners, right? The BRICS nation for destroying the American economy. But you can be saved if you join the mousetrap that the central bank digital currency and come part of the social credit system that's coming. Rich, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that the bank's ability to control this narrative is, it's a house of cards. And at any point it could be dismantled. And I think that, the BRICS, they control the world's share of oil production now.
Yep.
You know, and at a certain point, oil's going to be used as the weapon to cause the dollar to hyperinflate, and it's going to be outside the control of the central bank. They're going to have to react to it, and it's going to cause the dollar to take off and in hyperinflation and push gold really high against the dollar because of the inflation of the dollar, to the point where gold could go so high and so fast that it becomes a huge security threat to everybody.
In China, China bought a ton more of gold in the past week. They're just continuing to buy. They're hoarding gold, not only China, but the other countries. Go ahead.
Well, not just that. Silver, I know that somebody told me recently that was over in China that currently right now the Chinese government is putting out a huge information campaign related to silver to the public. And they're encouraging the public to purchase physical silver right now, just because they're saying that gold is less attainable because of the price, and now they've moved on. Well, silver in particular, it's the most undervalued and manipulated asset in the history of humanity probably right now.
Correct.
Where, you know, it's in the mid-80s to one against gold, when historically and naturally it exists about 9 to 1 in the crust, and it's mined in that capacity. And it has a massive amount of ground to make up against gold to bring it up to its historical, you know, 9 to 1 or 10 to 1. So at any point, you could see gold start to push silver, which in turn will start to push each other against each other to really cause this super crazy, I'm talking crazy, enhancement in value compared to the dollar, purchasing power, you know, everything as the dollar starts to really hyperinflate because of oil. And I think that this is going to come. I mean, Q said that gold would destroy the Fed, and it never really talked about the mechanism in which it would happen, how it would happen, how it all start, you know, because gold and silver are the greatest fear of the central bank. They have to control those prices in order to keep the focus on the dollar and the dollar as the dominant purchasing force, you know, and store value. So, yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to add that BRICS did $240 billion in transactions at the start of this year. So they're already doing it without the dollar. That you'd expect that to explode, like you said. You know, the whole world's been controlled by the U.S. petrodollar, right? U.S. oil dollar, if you think about it. So here we are now, and the oil dollar or the oil BRICS money might destroy the Federal Reserve. This is really fascinating.
Sure. Through oil and gold, really. Oil will be the instrument, but gold will be the dominant force, with silver kind of is the battering ram, kind of the shock force that really does, because silver is the people's money. It's attainable by the people. I mean, there may not be a supply of it by the time the people figure out. It may be gone. It's pretty much gone already, but people are going to figure it out at a certain point. It's going to become very attractive.
We're going to see people take their silverware and start selling it at some point. I that happened once in the 80s. I expect it to happen again. If the silver just explodes, suddenly it goes to, you know, from 20 some dollars an ounce to 100 or 200, you're going to see people start pawning it off. Literally, it's going to happen.
But I think, you know, that the price rise will be so volatile when this happens, it'll happen so fast and be continued over a period of time that there will be no sellers and only buyers looking. So that'll in turn help push the price up higher and higher, because if it's gaining so much day to day, the risk is too high to sell it one day because you may be losing a lot of money by the next day. I mean, you might see, it's hard to say how high and how fast it can go. It just depends on how fast the dollar can hyperinflate.
And believe me, audience, this is a psy war. The economy is a psy war, right? Young people are feeling it. People going homeless. People are doing all kinds of ridiculous options, right? And once the cascade effect happens, once even the middle income, even the upper middle class start feeling the pinch, they're going to cut back on restaurants and entertainment. It's always the first thing to go. And you can see a cascade effect. Even now in California, they've added a new tax where a McDonald's meal now costs $25, something ridiculous. Even Chick-fil-A chicken, a lunch costs $40. Right, and that's fine for maybe the wealthy people, but someone that's on a budget, that's making $60,000 a year, $80,000 a year, that's going to be a pain point which they're not going to go. And so there is right now at the bottom, you're seeing mass people changing their habits. Well, why am I going to pay $40 for Chick-fil-A when I go to a restaurant and get, you know, a salad and something else for $30? Right, so there's going to be a massive change coming. And California is going to be the canary in the coal mine as far as the economy, you know, the economy at that level.
Oh, people are going to get skinny, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to miss meals and cut back sizes. And I guess we'll all be losing weight. We don't need medicine. Now, who knew there was a just cut back and you can lose weight?
I'll say one other thing. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say, you know, if you really want to see what's going to happen, I think that similar to what happened in the collapse of the USSR, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, where it drug on for a few years, this process, everything was still fine one day, the currency was still viable, and then all of a sudden, within a 24-hour period, they added two zeros to everything on the prices, right? And then it just went out of control to where over about a week, the money had no value whatsoever.
Well, you know, Zimbabwe, Weimar Republic in Germany, 1923, Argentina, a lot of countries have gone through this worthless paper, right? You get $1 million Zimbabwe note, you can buy a loaf of bread or something ridiculous, right? You hear these stories, it's totally nuts and insane.
I would urge people to Just read about the dissolution of the Soviet Union between 87 and 91 is when it occurred, because it just read the timeline of it, of what happened. And I think that you're going to see it really incorporates to, you know, the military government here, the process of dissolving the local governments and the state governments and the federal government out of necessity, just because of the currency collapse of and nothing else really. But
yeah, well, you know, there will be a lot of unemployed government officials, state level government officials, city level government officials. I've said this on this show and others. Once the Federal Reserve itself can no longer print money and have no money and can't give blank checks to different cities, and once the Fed turns off the spigot of cash flowing into the different cities and states, cities can't do what? They cannot print their own money. So suddenly, and they got budget year to year they have to stick to. So suddenly, a lot of them are carrying massive amounts of debt. Florida's not one of them. Texas is not one of them. But a lot of other states are in the crosshairs of the economic collapse. And you can imagine New York City and LA and San Francisco and Chicago, Seattle, those places, those cities will absolutely collapse financially. That's a real possibility.
I think it has to happen. It's going to happen.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this. So you sent me this X key score. So let me just set this up. This is in July 2013, Edward Snowden publicly revealed the program's purpose and use by the NSA in the Sydney Morning Herald, an old global newspaper. The code name was already public knowledge because it mentioned in earlier articles and likely many other code names. It appears in job postings, online resumes, so on and so forth. So I remembered all that 11 years ago. So why is Edward Snowden and this important today? Because I believe when Trump came in, one of the first things he did was start, the alliance started cleaning out agencies that were related to the execution of the alliance plan, right? I'm not talking about cleaning out all the agencies. All Trump did was expose the corruption in the Department of Justice, expose corruption in the FBI, expose corruption in all of the health agencies. You know, all that's been going on for 8 years. He exposed corruption in all the U.S. courts, all of it. But the military, you know, they neutered the CIA, I believe, to a great extent. And then the NSA, I believe, has been cleaned out. But you believe the X key score is still being used. Go ahead and talk to us.
Oh, well, I think it's important that the people understand what type of programs are being used, you know, both for them and against them. I mean, there's both a positive and a negative side to it. I can tell you that I've seen this program demonstrated in real time in front of me, utilizing my accounts and access just to be shown to me, but not in a threatening way. And also explain the mechanism in which it's being used legally under the Patriot Act without any type of warrant or anything like that.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of foreign entities using this program. All the Five Eyes are using it. Plus, not just them. It's countries like India and these other countries where their intelligence services have access to this. And it's also being used by the private sector through these conduits of these foreign intelligence operators who are working on the side with private entities and selling data and data farming people individually, right?
Veterans Affairs, the Veterans Association, right? All the U.S. veterans being exposed worldwide. I'm sure most Americans are exposed worldwide. It's why I never went to 23andMe or Ancestry.com and give up my DNA. I was never going to do that because I knew the first place, going to two places, going to pharma and it's going to China. I knew this instinctively. So I never, ever, ever did anything remotely like that.
No, it's a good idea. I will say this. Okay. I had this experience. Okay. And I ended up confirming it through a contact where, okay, for instance, like India will work with, you know, information companies, like intelligence operators work on the side with an information company, you know. So if you don't have like a personalized device, like a phone in a house or a residence, but you do have a Wi-Fi service. Okay. If you bring a phone in to that residence, it's going to identify other users in the house that may not be in that phone information grid. And once that happens, it's going to send an alert to one of these intelligence operators working for one of these information companies to get into that house in one way or another via a verbal communication or contact. It could be that they utilize a fake website or a fake notification and then a phone call, or they call in and they're trying to get information related to other users who may not be identified through a personal device, right? They're trying to build intelligence related to that stuff and then sell the information, right? And they're looking for people that don't, that are kind of ghosts in the machine, I guess you could say, where they're operating without a personalized device. So, I mean, okay, I'll put it like this. Okay, there's facial recognition technology out there. And if you have a phone and you're regularly using that phone, all that data is already, you know, downloaded into these information systems. And so it already knows who you are. Why do you think all these people did, you know, I don't know, several years ago when this program came out through social media, which you could click onto it, put a photo in, and then it'll age regress you to show what you would look like if you were older. Well, it's building the facial recognition database in a personalized way. So you're supplying the information and confirming your identity. And then it's using that information to show you a picture of yourself as you get older, right? But what it's really doing is putting you in the database and the network for the IA, you know, facial recognition stuff. And if you don't have the phone or you didn't do those programs, it really doesn't know who you are, you know? So that's what it used stuff like this to build this system up to get these identification confirmations related to it.
Got it. Well, this is quick news here. So I just want to weigh in. This is what I've been covering for 5 years of COVID vaccine genocide going on. So Dolores Cahill has been one of the tips of the spear on the truth about the fake pandemic, the COVID bioweapons for the last 5 years. She's out of Ireland. She's an expert. And she says, if nothing changes, so that's why I have a star here, a renowned scientist says all COVID vaxxed will die in 3 to 5 years. That includes you, Dr. Drew Pinsky, who are dumb enough to take the Johnson & Johnson, and others who took Johnson & Johnson to go, oh, just one vaccine, I can handle it. I agree with her. However, we know there's been hidden technologies, right? And we don't know that if those technologies come out, or even if there's a solution with a military alliance, but that won't come out until after all of this, until after the entire collapse. Is there a solution for the vaccinated? I don't know. So I put a star by it, because 3 to 5 years from now is 2027 to 2030. I'm not disagreeing with her, but there could be a solution she is unaware and all of us are unaware until we find out. So if you take in the shot, highly recommend you finding different ways to treat yourself. Think about hyperbaric oxygen tank therapy. I'm not a medical doctor. Think about ways to get the nanotech out of you. Think about ways to thin your blood and get the blood clots out and all of that. That's all I can say. This is, you know who, Rich Chermeau. And if you haven't seen parts 1 and 2 of A Flash of Beauty, highly recommend. It's absolutely amazing to go into the Sasquatch world. Rich, you got any new updates on Sasquatch?
No, it's been busy though. I mean, it's like this thing. It surges and then it goes down again. But I'm in a surge again now, where it seems like there's a lot of activity as far as people wanting to talk to me about it again. You know, it kind of goes with, you know, the flash of beauty and new stuff coming out, and then new interest comes up. So it never kind of ends, even though that I'm not really significantly or seriously engaged in research or investigation or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, I really don't do it at all, but it just doesn't ever go away. It just keeps coming around.
Understood. You know? Understood.
Can I say one thing about back about the last topic? I would say this, I would think that, and I think I've seen stuff related to it, when they create these bioweapons, part of the policy is that they also have to create an antidote at the same time. I don't know that we'll see the antidote, though. I don't know that it'll be deployed or anything prior to the full effect being taken with this thing. That's up in the air. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, I think the Alliance can't move on it yet until all these agencies are out of the way and the criminality is exposed. So the people are going to die between now and then. But hey, I didn't force you to take a vaccine. In fact, I warned people to not take the vaccine. I've been warning them from the first week, literally, of 2020. I've been warning people for a long time. I warned people before that in 2019 when I was writing for Sherry Tenpenny. I've been covering the vaccine story for a long time. I warned people about the CDC corruption 2016. So it wasn't me. But you know, people that made decisions, well, I'm going to tell you, you made wrong decisions. And you're starting to regret it. Dan Bongino, he took a couple jabs. Some of these celebrities took a lot of jabs. We've seen a lot of celebrities dying. We're seeing AstraZeneca now being exposed. We're seeing the CDC being exposed now, hiding the data. They've all been hiding the data. That's how they work. It's never about truth or transparency, but you only can lie for so long. The truth always comes out, especially in the age of the apocalypse, the great unveiling, the revelation. There's no way they can hide this anymore. And yeah, there's going to be a point when the others who are still alive, who are vaccinated, see their comrades dying left and right, and they're going to have a problem.
No, I mean, this is free will. You look at it, I mean, I hate to look at it this way, but I have to consider it. You look at it from a white hat perspective, they have targets too, right? There's a lot of evil people out there.
Oh, yeah. People don't understand is they have to flush them out everywhere. That's why the CARES Act incentivized murder in hospitals. It wasn't that the white hats wanted to kill people in hospitals. They wanted to, here's your opportunity. Are you going to do the right thing and take care of patients, or are you going to murder them? They murdered them. You have to flood. Yeah, you know, this is, we're in tribulation is the threshing board, as Rich and I talked about a couple of weeks ago. They're separating the wheat from the chaff. The chaff has to get, you have to get rid of it. You have to bring all the termites out of the wood. This is what's going on. One of the reasons why it's taking so long. A lot of people are not awake yet. And they need those two conditions, no coup, no civil war. So with all the college campus, civil war is a possibility. And even Zero Hedge today is reporting that, oh, looks like we can go back to riots again. Well, sure, you're going back to riots again. Rich and I talked about we're going back to riots again 3 weeks ago. Let's go to the college campus because this is a Marxist operation.
I have to say, these tent cities that they're building across college campuses are crazy, but are really well organized. And you know I had to look into this to understand who's behind all of this and who's paying all these people. I have to be honest, what I found was not really shocking, but I was surprised by how similar it is to the BLM summer riots of 2020. You see, these encampments are actually really well organized. The students receive the tents from organizers that also supply a bunch of different food like pizzas, rotisserie chicken, coffee. So I looked into who these organizers actually are, and there are three prominent groups. Students for Justice in Palestine, there's Within Our Lifetime, and then there's Jewish Voices for Peace. And these groups are actually led and organized by another organization called U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. And just guess how much these fellows are paid. They get $7,800 if they work 8 hours a week on some kind of Palestinian campaign. Makes you rethink what the hell you're doing with your life. And across these campuses, we've seen these fellows speak out at various events. Nita Laffey, Craig Morton, Malik Afina. So where the hell does USCPR even get this money to pay these fellows that much money? And who funds Students for Justice in Palestine and these other organizations? Here's where it really gets interesting. Almost all of their funding comes from rich, elite investors such as George Soros, Howard Horowitz, and members of the Rockefeller family. And isn't that ironic on its own? You see, George Soros' Open Society Foundation, along with Rockefeller's Brother Fund, gave $700,000 to these organizations. And we know now that the Open Society Foundation isn't run by George Soros anymore. It's actually run by his brother, Alex Soros, and his partners, Huma Abedin, with direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. As they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, the Open Society Foundation also funneled $20 million into the Tide Foundation. And the Tide Foundation takes this money and disperses it across all of these organizations across the U.S. They funnel money into Westpac, which is an organization that is led by Howard Horwitz. And Westpac is actually the fiscal sponsor for Within Our Lifetime. And guess what? All of these organizations have direct ties to the 2020 Summer Love riots. So the question I have to ask is why? Why now? Why again in the summer before a presidential election?
All right, Rich, a lot to unpack there, but I'm going to say two things. One is a lot of the money also has been laundered, U.S. tax dollars going overseas to these different aid programs, right, going to Ukraine and stuff, and the money's coming right back into these organizations, right? The billions of dollars going to Israel, some of it actually might actually go to Palestine. So, you know, we don't know, but so there's a lot of money laundering that's a part of this. So as college kids freak out about Chipotle, now they can make $7,800, you know, for part-time work in a week, they might actually go for it. And so this is the problem. It's money that funds this stuff. But as you and I talked about a few weeks ago, the different recipe for the riots this summer is not going to be BLM, and it's not going to be Palestinians only, it's not going to be Antifa only. It's going to be foreign invaders, PLA. And we're going to war, and that's when the military will be activated. Rich, go ahead.
Oh, these people are their worst enemies for sure. You look at it. I mean, it's another process of self-destruction. You know, they're destroying themselves or creating a situation where normal society's breaking away from them and seeing the light. It's another eye-opening, you know, truth-telling event. And also, it effectively, you know, is going to destroy these institutions, you know, both in the man physically and in the manner in which they're engaged in this beast system brainwashing, because these college universities are not good places. These are evil places, I would say, compared to, I mean, look at what they've created in our society. They've created this generation that, it's several generations, in fact, that is destroying this country and all the values in it. You know, that's what the cause of all this is. So, you know, let them destroy them. I don't know if that's what's going to happen to them, but something's going to change.
I think this is why we need to go to the edge of complete annihilation for everybody. However that happens, whatever it looks like, we've got to go to the edge of the abyss, the precipice. We have to look down at the great void and say, do we really want to go there? I think families that I think even the young people, I think everyone will be shocked to hell. Do I really want to die this year this way? I think the answer is going to be no for most people. When that happens and they see the military and then they begin to unveil the common enemy, right, which is the puppet masters at the top, it is literally game over. Most people will reunite. You will have, when at the end of this insanity, you're going to have BLM and Christian conservatives coming together. I continue to believe that because it gets down to the human element. It gets down to, I really want to die for what? What, some stupid cause? Right? Is this really worth dying for? Or actually, do I actually want to live? And the answer, most people want to live. Rich?
Yeah, once reality hits them, once they realize what's really happening, you even have some high-level BLM people now that are backing Trump. I mean, that's kind of been a bit quiet, but I've seen some news breaks on that over the last several months. So
yeah, there's no question about it, right? And the other thing is, a lot of people have been defending the system, and that goes to back to hypnosis and era. Wolf Knotson and I discussed that yesterday. 75% of the people on the planet can be hypnotized pretty easily, and I think COVID proved it completely.
Oh, absolutely,
right? I think 25% cannot. And I think COVID kind of proved that too, right? And with the help of different intelligent open source operations, it's woken up us and we've woken up others. So this has been part of the process for the last 8 years. So what's interesting though is when the beast system, when the system they think is protecting them or supposed to protect them, when it becomes a full-blown police state and it's financially ruined, including corporations, including cities and states, when it all goes bankrupt, and there's no system to speak of left, what are the people going to do? Right? That's going to be the offer. Do you want to live in this freaking broken system, or do you actually want to be saved? You want to wake up and be saved and be part of a new system. That is going to be the offer to them. It's simple. Do you want to remain in the dark kingdom that is being destroyed, or do you want to go into God's kingdom that's going to be reborn? Really, that's the offer, Rich.
I agree. I mean, you look at this COVID and the vaccine is really, like we've talked about before, it's the insurance policy. It mops up the mess that doesn't want to see reality or the truth, you know. And
that's why people have to die. Hate to say it. Yeah, we need excess deaths. We need all of this. We need an out of control economy. It might sound cruel, whatever, but this is actually needed to save humanity, because the evil plans they had for us, the cabal, transhumanism, destroying all of God's seed. Satan's plan was always to destroy every living human being, every seed of God ever, to prove to God that he could do it. Right? Mm-hmm. That's really the ultimate plan of Satan. And I think 1% of the cabal woke up about 10 years ago and realized that. They went over to the Alliance and realized they're going to join the fight against evil. Right? It's no different than Ira Wolfmussen, who's been a 60-year, born into the Luciferian family, did all this stuff that she regressed, but Jesus has forgiven her. Really incredible story. But she came into what? She came into God 4 years ago, during COVID, no less. So she's been reborn. And she's a powerful voice because she knows how the other side operates. So she has knowledge that no very few people ever have, because we don't talk about the cult at living rooms, in bars, in offices. We never talk about that. Religion has been hidden from us for centuries. You know, I was naive enough to believe that, well, that's all ancient mythology, and it's mythology, the Romans, Greeks, Egyptians, Norse mythology, all of it. Well, I was wrong, because actually you got human beings, evil human beings, that actually sacrificed children, babies, for these demonic entities. It's totally insane. But that's what we're fighting.
No, well, the reason why people don't talk about the occult, you know, over coffee and over beers is because the truth of the matter is the only God that most people worship is money. And that's the operating tool of the beast. So they can't really talk about the occult very much because they're engaged. We all are, in one degree or another.
We're all born into the beast system. It took us, you know, some of us lifetimes to realize we're in a beast system, right? The straw man, the birth bond, we're enslaved by the U.S. Federal Reserve, all of that, right? And so we're all going to exit Babylon. We're going to exit Babylon because God's rock, God's law, is going to destroy all remnants, all traces of the old system. So we're going to rip up satanic holidays that were given nice names. We're going back to a 13-month calendar. We're going back to family. There's a lot of things we're going back to. So all this wokeism, all this Marxism, communism, all this is going to be destroyed. You're not going to see any of this ideology anymore. It's going to be snuffed out completely. Rich?
No, the future, I don't think, is going to resemble the present very much.
Not at all. You know,
it's going to be, you know, people are going to get this self-empowerment, I guess you could say, and a new value system after they experience these near-death situations, this physical and this mental destruction.
It's all coming, Rich. Great show. Next week, you and I got a special topic. We'll share it with the audience right now. Elon Musk, Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to dive into that part of the world. Unfortunately, it's part of this story in too many ways, and we're going to dive into it. And if there's obviously breaking news between now and then, we will cover that as well. Thank you very much, Rich. Great seeing you again. Take care, audience.